All right. Well, this morning we start in on a new series. As is often true in the fall of a church calendar, it's time for stewardship. We're going to be in a stewardship season for this month into late November. And again, stewardship is really that concept that all that we've been given is a gift from God. And what will we do with it? How will we use it? Our time, our talents, our resources. And to help us think about those things, we're going to explore some different passages over the next few weeks. And this morning, a parable that Jesus tells. We find it in Luke chapter 12. It starts this way. It says, "Now someone in the crowd said to him," that is to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And then he said to them, that is the whole crowd there, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them this parable. "The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, gracious God, we hear the words of this parable, the challenge of greed in our lives, and we know it is something we wrestle with daily. And so, Lord, help us to hear your wisdom. Help to change our hearts that we would be rich toward you. We pray this day in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you remember the first time you watched a rocket launch, maybe NASA sending a satellite or moon lander or anything? Anybody remember those days? Yeah. One of those great moments as you watch the rocket on the launch pad, you heard some of Mission Control talk, and then the countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ignition. And then the rockets fire and the smoke starts billowing out, right? And it seems, it takes a while, but finally there's enough force and then the rocket begins to inch up and away and just launch into space. Always a powerful moment, isn't it? But doesn't it always strike you? Doesn't it seem like it just seems to take so long for that big rocket to finally lift off? All that force is billowing out from those rockets. And yet it takes so long for it to finally get free. Get free of that force that is always weighing on us, right? Gravity. Gravity's a good thing. We like gravity. We don't think about gravity much, but it's always a part of our lives, right? If there wasn't gravity, we would have some issues. Right? We'd be floating around, right? That'd be challenging. So gravity's a good thing. When I got to thinking about gravity as this force that's always around us, it's a positive force. This week, as I was looking into this parable, I got there's another force always at work on us. It's another G force, if you will, that of greed, right? Something we wrestle with day in and day out, and it's not a new thing, it's not a modern thing. Obviously, Jesus is dealing with it here. In fact, if you look throughout the scriptures, one of the most common topics that the people wrestle with is greed. Is what do we do with our resources when we're blessed, when we have an abundance? What do we do with it? So today we see this parable dealing with the G-force that is always weighing on us. Greed. Now, back in the 1980s and 90s, there were some sociologists who began to look at the impact of greed on our lives, and they came up with a new term of sorts. You may remember this term, affluenza. Remember hearing that one? Sort of taking the idea of a contagious disease like influenza coupled with affluence, right? One sort of general description or definition then of affluenza: a painful, contagious, socially transmitted condition of overload, debt, anxiety, and waste, resulting from the dogged pursuit of more. It sure sounds like another word for greed, doesn't it? We just like to make up more important sounding words and definitions. Affluenza, greed. It's a 2,000-year-old problem and a modern problem. And I think in some regard, maybe it's even heightened more and more in these days because of the way our culture and our society is structured around kind of a market capitalism. We are constantly challenged with affluenza, constantly bombarded with the idea of the need for more. And if you're not so sure about that, here's just a few statistics over the last few decades. In 1986, in the United States, there were more high schools than shopping centers. That's a good thing. But 20 years later, in 2006, there were twice as many shopping centers as high schools. Huh. What does that tell us? Turns out we spend more on shoes, jewelry, and watches as a nation than we do on higher education. And you know how expensive higher education is, right? And yet somehow we spend more on shoes, jewelry, and watches. Trillions of dollars. It's just a few ways to think about it. Think of the massive consumer debt that most people live with. And in America, I'm not sure nowadays, about 10 years ago, the average was most folks live with about $7,000 to $9,000 worth of revolving debt. All seems to me to be signs of affluenza, of greed, that this G-force that is constantly pressing on us. And it's something we need to be aware of and to respond to if we're going to grow into the fullness of life that God has designed us for. And so Jesus has this parable before us in Luke 12. And a few things then, I just want to note that we learned from the parable, from this whole encounter about greed. First, of course, that greed causes conflict. Greed causes conflict. The whole parable is set up by this moment where this man interrupts Jesus, right? He's in the midst of teaching to a large crowd. And if we go back to earlier Luke chapter 12, what we would see is Jesus is teaching some pretty high theological stuff. Thinking about heaven and hell, about the scribes and the Pharisees, about God changing our hearts. I mean, deep theological, powerful stuff. Right? Life-changing kind of words. And in the midst of that conversation, the man says, Jesus, yeah, whatever. Can you settle this dispute between my brother and I? And you can tell Jesus is annoyed. Now, maybe none of you have ever thought about Jesus as annoyed. But I think he's annoyed here. Because his response, what does he say? He says, man, why should I be an arbitrator between you and your brother? Man. In other words, to take that word, man, could translate it something more like, hey, knucklehead. You've just missed the point here. I've been sharing about this larger view of life and God, And you've boiled it down to this struggle with your brother. And the struggle is really about greed. It's about you wanting your share of the inheritance. And you see, in those days, the oldest brother, the parents passed away, then the estate went to the older brother. And it was his responsibility to divide it up amongst the rest of the siblings. It was his role. And it must be at this point, he's not ready to do that. The younger brother is annoyed, he's impatient, whatever. But it seems to be, he's got this greedy heart, and he wants Jesus to solve it. And Jesus isn't there to help solve greedy problems for brothers. He's there to solve relationship problems, there to bring people together, not divide them. And here this relationship between the two brothers is obviously divided. And so Jesus tries to get at the real heart of the man's problem, his greed. Because greed causes conflict. Have you ever been a part of a family after someone has passed away and the will or estate is shared and things seem unequal? The sort of rancor that can develop, the hostility that can come up, the division that comes between family members. Anybody been a part of that? Oh, yeah. I've heard time and time again. In fact, my father-in-law, he's seen this in different parts of his family over the years. And as a mathematician, he's devised a whole system, a point system on how to divvy up things fairly in the midst of inheritance. I don't quite understand it. Because it's quite mathematical, but it's just one way that he's trying to help deal with the challenge of greed. Because greed causes conflict. It brings up this dividing wall between me and you when you get something and I don't, or I want what you got. So Jesus tries to get to the heart of the matter. And he says, take care. Or in other words, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Notice he gives it a double warning. Take care. Be on your guard. Because, of course, that's the nature of greed. It's insidious. It's subtle. And so often we dismiss it. We think, I'm not a greedy person. We'd make a caricature of it. We envision Ebenezer Scrooge, right, in the Christmas Carol, with his cold heart and his cold office counting his cold coins. That's a greedy person. That's not me, right? It's always easy to see greed in someone else's life, but not so much in our own. But Jesus says, watch out. Watch out, because it takes so many different forms. Greed will creep up in your life. Halloween's coming up. How many of you, as a kid, after Halloween, would come home, dump out your bag of candy, and sort it? Candies you like, candies you don't, right? You remember those days? Yeah. Yeah. I like to help my kids do that. Uh-huh. Sort. Because, of course, what am I really aiming at after the sort? Oh, you probably don't like that candy, do you? Right? Greed comes in many forms. Subtle forms. Greed can take over if we're not careful, not watchful for it. What are the different forms that greed takes hold in your life? I'm not sure what that answer will be for you. Maybe it's in the ways you use your time. You're greedy with your time, perhaps. Maybe it's greed with your finances and how you sort of wall it all off for your particular needs, but not considering how might others be able to benefit from my abundance. There's a lot of ways that greed creeps into our lives. And Jesus warns us and says, watch out, be on your guard. We're coming into one of the most dangerous seasons for greed right now. As we get into November and December, it's catalog season. Right? You start getting the catalogs in the mail? Oh, yeah. You love getting catalogs, but what happens when you get those catalogs? Oh, you start to sort look through all these things. You go, whoa, wow, I really like that. Oh, that would be nice. Oh, that's great. Well, I didn't know they made that. That's wonderful, right? All of a sudden, you have all these things before you didn't know existed, and that you don't really need, but now you really want. It's the nature of greed. I want to have. If only I could get that. Catalog season is dangerous. Greed takes many forms. So we got to be on our guard for it. Another thing to note in our parable is that greed isolates. The more greed takes hold in our life, the more it isolates who we are. Did you notice in our parable, it's this odd sort of thing that the rich fool has this conversation with himself, right? He says to himself, what shall I do? I don't know. Let's build some barns. Yeah, sounds like a good idea. Oh, I love it. Let's do it. Commentators on this passage note that in the first century, somebody with wealth and resources like this particular gentleman, the way in which you make major decisions was not in isolation. You tended to consult friends and family. You tended to talk with the important kind of power and authority of the community, because it was all intertwined. It was all connected in the villages in the ancient world. And so for this conversation to be entirely one-sided, this man to himself the whole time, tells us something about him. He has no friends. And if he has any family, he's distanced himself from them. He certainly has employees, people doing work for him. He doesn't consult them at all. He certainly is a part of a larger community. He doesn't talk to anybody in the community about their needs or how things are going in the rest of the village or anything. No, he just talks to himself the whole time. And it seems to highlight this idea, this reality, that the more greed creeps into our lives, the more isolated we become, because the more I want for me means I'm going to push you away because you might take some of it. You might budge in on my stuff, right? The prophet Isaiah talked about it this way when he wrote, "Woe to those who join house to house, who add field to field until there is no more room, and you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land." Sounds lonely, doesn't it? Greed isolates and pushes us away from relationships to thrive. Greed, of course, gives us, in this case particularly, in our parable especially, a false sense of well-being, right? The man is living by a false narrative, and it's the narrative of affluenza that says, the more I get, the more I can amass, the more I can hold on to and collect, the more secure I will feel. And so he says, oh, I've got plenty now. Now I can relax and eat, drink, and be merry. But of course, it's a false narrative, because at any moment, it could be gone. If you were living in New Bern, North Carolina last year when Hurricane Florence came through, and you were in the wrong place at the wrong time when the floodwaters came through and the storm surge hit, you may have had an abundance of possessions, wonderful things within your home. But after Florence hit, those were all tossed out and gone. See, the false narrative of affluenza says, if I just have enough, I have this, that, and the other, I will be well. But that's the man's downfall, of course, because what does God say to that? You fool. I don't think it's a good thing for God to call you a fool, by the way. I don't think that's positive, right? Why does he call him a fool? Because he put all his eggs into the basket. Because he thought, if I just had enough, if I just amassed all of this, my life would be well. But more than that, because God was never in the picture. He never says to himself, self, I have a lot. I should store it up. And then and then I could use it and offer it to God and God's people and my community so that they could thrive. That would have been a way of being rich towards God, but of course, it never seems to enter the conversation for the man. It's all me, my, I. 6 times he says I in there. Several other times it's my crops, my barns, my goods. See, greed often blinds us to the reality of God. It often separates us from living into the fullness of God. It's a part of what happens. Greed, affluenza, it's one of those forces that's always at work on us. And I know every one of us sitting here right now will think, I'm not greedy. Maybe not today. Maybe next week after the candy's gathered. Sure do like those Almond Joys. Or maybe when that bonus check comes in at the end of the year. Or maybe, you just never know, that greed shake takes so many different forms and it is always at work on us, friends. And if we don't pay attention to it, then our relationship with God, our ability to be rich towards God and to use what we have in powerful, kingdom, joy-filled, merciful, loving ways, gets hindered. The next few weeks, we're going to talk about some of the antidotes to greed. So you're going to have to come back. Not giving any answers today. What do we do with greed? One, we certainly got to be aware and prepared and take note of it because it is a powerful force. But God has something better for us. It will help us turn the tide of our lives, help us to break free from the G-force that is always pulling on us. Gracious God, we grateful this day that you speak plainly and forthrightly to us about the challenge of greed. You know, every one of us wrestles with it, O Lord. It's a part of the sin within us, our brokenness. But somehow we have this false story that if we just get more. Lord, we know you are the giver of all good gifts, and you want to bless so that we would be a blessing. So Lord, help us to grow into that kind of life. Help us to explore the ways of generosity and goodness in these days to come. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.